Welcome to the Nerd Alternative Podcast. And today we're sponsored by Game Pass. As you can probably guess, it's E3 today. We are having an E3 extravaganza. No news, just jumping straight in, trying to cram as much as we can in the time that we have. Obviously, I'm hosting today, Levi. And with me, I have a Mr. Hassan.
Hello, how's it going?
And Councillor Josh.
Ridge Racer!
Oh!
And obviously, E3 has just wrapped up, and it was good. Do you know what? Part of me, I think maybe because the bar was so low for it, for me personally, I was pleasantly surprised. Like, I keep being really excited, and then when I actually think about what I saw, I'm like, okay, I don't know why I'm this excited. But there is reason to be excited. So what we're going to try and do, guys, is go through as many of the announcements and games and things and stuff as much as we can in time. Probably going to spend more time on a Nintendo and Xbesta. I don't know. the Xbox stuff. But we are, and obviously some things might conflate a little bit. That is what irritates me about dev presentations after publisher, before publisher presentations. But yeah. This episode will just happen, guys. And
it just works.
It just works. So that is the intro. We are jumping straight into the E3 goodness. And we're starting with the badness, I guess. I mean, we're going to just remind everyone that Ubisoft was there.
apparently.
We are not the biggest Ubisoft fans. Bad practices, cookie cutter games, you know,
towers. And,
no, but thanks. It happened. For anyone that cares, there was like a lot of Far Cry stuff. I do remember that. I feel like there was a Far Cry game that involved like the villains or something. There was some Far Cry 6 stuff. That game looks janky as hell. Like it doesn't look really, really bad, but it doesn't really look good. Graphically wise, anyway. They actually done a lot of television stuff. I don't know if you was aware, Hassan. There's like there was season 2 of that, the Mythic Quest, the Apple TV show.
I'm struggling for the audio listeners.
They spoke a bit about the DLC in Assassin's Creed, which really cracked me up, because just off the basis of the one DLC that allowed you to wield the sword, it was either wield it with one hand or wield it with two hands. And I just thought, is this where we've come to as a society, where you are selling things like that?
The horse armor of wielding. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, essentially. There was a Rainbow Six Siege anime thing, I think. That was a thing.
There's a whole new game. I know, like, I've seen that on Twitter.
I think they put Aiden Pierce in the new Watch Dogs. The Crew, was that Ubisoft? Yeah, The Crew 2. There was a trailer for that. I'm really trying to not be so shady. It was. They were. I mean, do you know what? The thing is with Ubisoft as like a company or a brand is if you're not really that, if you don't care that much about practices and you like what you like, because there's a lot of people that do just enjoy those open world games, and you always there's going to be something for you there,
for sure. I was going to say, like, if your bag was the last 5 years of Ubisoft, this is more the same.
Yeah, exactly that. Oh, there was some Mario, the new Mario and Rabbids game. I don't know if I wanted to talk about that in Nintendo. Maybe we'll talk about that more then. There's something that is really escaping me right now.
Oh, Avatar. God. There's an Avatar.
I knew there was something. I'll be honest. I feel nothing. I don't know if any of you two guys
is that the blue people Avatar or Avatar mm-hmm. Lost Airbender?
Yeah, it's the blue. So there's like it's called Ooh, Frontier something called something Frontier.
I thought it was the movie. I really thank God this is giving me a segment for this movie. Because this movie, just Avatar in general, garbage. I don't care what anyone has to say. No, it's pleasing. It's amazing. No, it's not pleasing to have glasses on, 3D glasses on your face for 3 hours. That's not great. And also, it's just Pocahontas with blue people. That's mm-hmm. all it is. Joke.
I agree.
Oh, I'm glad we brought you on, mate.
I don't even know what this game is supposed to be. I don't know if it's like the first Settlers, but all I know is it was called like Frontiers of Pandora. I don't know how I feel about that. I guess colonizing game, I suppose. Colonizer sim.
Well, in fairness, they literally just did colonizing sim with the last Assassin's Creed. So I'm like, oh, it's yeah, not a million miles off. Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
They're farmers.
They are farmers. Oh, anything else to add about the wondrous Ubisoft?
Nope.
Oh, and they didn't. I wouldn't expect them to address anything, but it did feel really like. I remember when I was watching it, it felt just really like, yeah, hey. But anyway, moving on. I feel like indie games would be your bag, Josh. You know, you need to invest in a Switch. You really do.
There's some indie games coming up that is on the GameSpot, but we'll talk about that in a bit.
All right. Oh, yeah. Hassan, I would like you to take us on a little journey through all of the indie stuff.
Oh,
let's try not to sink into too much into the hole, but I'm probably going to.
There was a bunch of indie games talked about in the Wholesome Games panel. They showed off 75 games. Yeah.
Wow.
There's like a lot of like kind of just like straight up and down narrative kind of games where they tell like really interesting and unique and kind of wholesome and sweet stories. There's like a lot of there's a lot of like very inclusive content as well. There was a lot of like trans and gay friendly, like LGBTQ friendly games coming out, which is like super cool because like you tend to just see like straight men in the kind of protagonist seat, right? So it's interesting to kind of see stories from different angles like that. It's like awesome. There was also like some genuinely like heartwarmingly beautiful games kind of popped in there. I'll chuck up a couple. Beast of Maravilla Island, which is like Pokemon Snap, but you're in this island full of like these weird and wonderful and like creatively designed monsters, and it looks super, super cool. Yokai Inn, where you run a inn for monsters. Super cute. After that, there's the Devolver Digital show, which straight up, this was the one from all the panels that I was like, this is probably going to be the one that's going to get me, where there's going to be like a bunch of stuff that I'm like,
that's the one I wanted to check out.
Yeah. And they got me really hard for two games specifically. Inscription, which is by the guy who made Pony Island. If you've not played Pony Island and you have a PC, stop listening and go play Pony Island.
Pony Island.
Yeah, legitimately. If you all need to play that game. That game is so, so damn good. Like so damn good. It's an incredibly kind of subversive game of games in general and kind of game development in general. It's really, really good. And every time you think you know what it's about, it's not that. It's one of those ones. The other one, which I think is the standout game for me, this E3, was Death's Door, the Zelda game. It looks like an old school kind of Zelda game, but you play a crow that's a psychopomp. So you have to like ferry souls back to heaven or hell kind of thing. And
that sounds like, oh, heaven and hell, never mind. I was thinking of, is it Spiritfarer, that game that
Ram was
banging out?
But you're literally battling these kind of warped and broken souls. It looks amazing. And like the gameplay looks super tight and super fast. And it's on Game Pass. Josh, get on it.
Oh my like, days.
There's that game that had Daisy Ridley, James McAvoy, and William Dafoe 12 minutes.
Yeah.
That game looks good too.
I heard William Dafoe's voice and I just like, I don't know. I was engaged all of a sudden. I was gonna say, if we're talking about all types of indies, there were games, there was a couple that I noticed as well, just because you mentioned some of the Xbox ones. Me, who I would say I'm a very I rarely play any games. Well, I do, but I've dabbled in it. But I feel like the ones I dabble in are like the well-known, like your Hollow Knights and your Celestes and things like that, if you know what I mean. there was a game called They Always Run. I don't know if you saw it on the PC gaming show.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about the dev or anything, but that game looked really, really interesting to me. I have a really soft spot for like just side-scrolling, whether it's platforming or beat-em-ups or even Castlevania. Like, I don't know, if it's a good art style and it's got tight controls, I'm in.
Mm.
And that game looked really interesting. There was one called Gigabash, which was that mecha kaiju arena thing. That looked really fun. And the last one that was quite interesting, well, premise-wise to me, was that Lemniscate one as well.
Yeah.
Which was like half RTS, half FPS, like half real, like Josh, it's like strategy, but it's like Call of Duty at the same time. Like you play for like 25 seconds and then the other side get to play. I couldn't even begin to explain it. I had to rewind it and watch it like 5 times, but
yeah. That
sounds cool.
It looks super, super exciting. There's a couple others I wanted to shout out specifically. Planet of Lana, which looks unbelievably gorgeous. They showed like a kind of like a typical teaser trailer where they don't really tell you what's going on, but I was like, this art style, go grab them in. And Oxenfree 2.
I've seen that.
You've heard me like go on about Oxenfree, right? Like a few times I've gone off about it. It's criminally underrated, that game. That game is brilliant, and I can't wait for the second game.
I hear that. What I'm going to do is we'll talk about Square Enix. I feel like we're going to end up touching on a few like indie games anyway. The reason I wasn't even planning to even mention their show, but it was actually, you know, a couple of things in there, some more interesting than others. And also I guess it just solidified how grubby Square Enix can be, like there was the Nier mobile game, there was the Final Fantasy. I feel like they had more DLC for that really, really microtransaction heavy one that is like pay for every character or whatever. There was some,
that's awful.
It is really bad. Like Square Enix, I think they must make bank off of their mobile games. But we'll move past that. I want to talk a little bit about Babylon's Fall, which is developed by Platinum Games. The Nier guys, I want to say. Look, yeah.
It looks good.
I'm not going to lie. It looked very to me. Like, I don't know. It looked... when I saw Platinum, I feel like I was like, and then I saw the actual trailer, I was a bit like,
The disappointment that it wasn't Bayonetta 3, like people lost their minds.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard about this.
There was Life is Strange True Colors. Now, Life is Strange is another one that is now reserved for me and Ram playing through at some point together. I've heard really good things about the first two, I want to say. Or is it first one? First two?
There's two. They're episodic, though. I own them both. I've not touched them. It's one of those games where I keep kind of going, oh, I need to play. I've heard good things. And then it was like, oh, I should like do this for the weekend review. And then I play just other indie games. Like,
I hate that. Josh, have you... I don't know what you call those genre of games. Have you ever played like those kind of episodic, kind of cutscene heavy games? I would say story driven games like Walking Dead, Heavy Rain, the robots,
Tales or something.
Tales?
What?
Oh, Telltale Games. Right? Yeah, yes. But not just restricted to them. There's what's the other one? Detroit Become Human.
Yeah,
is that one.
What the hell are you talking about? Robot. I'm so lost.
I forget what a developer's called. Quantic something. David Cage. I just know David Cage is the man that sells the dreams. have you not played any of those games at all, Josh?
So I haven't really. So there was the Batman one that I was going to like bang out. And I think it was Platinum. Like a Game of Thrones.
Sorry.
I think it was like a Game of Thrones one that I was gonna play as well, but I haven't really got into it. I'm trying to think of. I think those sort of games I actually play on my mobile phone, if anything,
or a Switch,
A Switch, which I don't have. But it's I don't really go into sort of games like that. But I'm that. Do you see that game that Hassan was talking about just moments ago? The game where you have a Willem Dafoe and Daisy Ridley. And,
oh, yeah. 12 minutes, yeah.
Is that going to be a similar game like that?
Yeah, yeah. It's okay, not a reflex or anything like that. It's your choices that matter.
Choice-based games, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I think I'm going to check out for sure because it's getting on Game Pass.
I think as well, like, because your missus, she plays, like, well, she dabbles, like she plays the Xbox every now and then, and I think
but she plays Ubisoft games, which everyone hates.
I think
Ubisoft games and Call of Duty.
I think
she's a pro, man.
Yeah, she's doing the esports thing. No, but I think if you sat down with her and played one of those story-driven games, I think you'd have a very good experience. Like, yeah, I've sat down. We played some of Detroit with Ramond. As you know, Hassan, I'm very evil when it comes to choice-based games. She will sit there and be like, "What do I think?" And I'm just like, "What do you mean? It's your choice."
Like, yes, good.
She'll be like, "But which is the right one?" I'm like, "No, there's no right one. You pick a choice and you live with the action." I'm so bad. Even
so good.
What's the one Until Dawn that we're currently doing? thing I help her is with the QTEs because I know she's garbage with those. So I'll do the squares and the triangles. But when she's like, "Do I go left or go right?" I'm not saying nothing. I'm just like, "What are you doing?"
That's so good.
There was a game like that we were playing. I was on the Xbox and I can't remember. I can only give you the premise of the game because I can't remember what the game is called, unfortunately. But it was about these people who were left on a planet. And they're trying to, it's like a couple, they're left on the planet and they're trying to find their way back home, I believe. But you can also like clean the planet and turn the animals who are like raging into nice, peaceful animals. And I think that was a game that Victoria was playing quite a bit. And then we could play it together. And you do make decisions and stuff like that in that game. But I think that was the only sort of game that we tried. But like I said, I think I would be interested in playing like decision games and those games like that as well. But yeah.
They're fun. I was just going to say, I think it's because as well, because there are specific consequences and you lock off certain options. There's always that element. I think especially with casual gamers, like you kind of get it roped in for the ride and you're like, "Oh my God." And part of you wants to go back and maybe do the decision again or do it. Yeah. It's good times. Good times. Sorry, Hassan.
I've got one recommendation like to play together. What Became of Edith Finch is a...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Top tier. Yeah, it's like surprisingly like poignant. Like it really like knows how to kind of use its storytelling to like pull you in deeply and in like such a beautiful way. Like the story of this family just kind of, it hits home in a weird way that's just so cool.
Is that the game where the brother and sister go back to their hometown and
no? That's the same kind of game, but this one is the history of this family is told through their weird house, and as you explore the rooms, like you meet different members of the families, and it's so good.
Really good, and it's really quick as well. Like that's a really good. You know, babe, what are you doing? Let's sit down and play this game. It'll take you like an hour. And okay. you get it's a really good story. Edith Finch is really good. It's
yeah,
really good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of tragic as well, but in a like not dark tragic, just life. Spoiler tragic.
Yeah.
No. It's just life. You're just gonna be like, life.
It's like fantastical, but it's still very human, like still a very, very human story.
The last game that playing was a game where you're a shark and you eat humans.
I know the game you're talking about. And that game is great.
do you get bigger as well or something? Or is that another shark game you're talking about?
I think so. But what was really bad, we were playing it in front of our 2-year-old.
Oh my God.
He enjoyed it.
That's fine. It's not zombies or anything.
Mm.
Yeah.
But yes, so that's Life is Strange. That, and also, we'll talk about it on the Switch as well. I believe that the first two are coming to the Switch, as is a lot of other games, but we'll talk about that. The last thing I wanted to mention... No, there's two things. I don't know which order I want to go in. I'll go in the one that's personally big for me first. I'll be objective, guys. There was the Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origins reveal, which was like... it was like, so I'm not quite sure what it is. From what I've seen, it's like Final Fantasy meets Dark Souls. Apparently it's set to be some sort of reimagining of like the first game, or like maybe some of the lore from the first game. I'm not gonna lie, yeah. I'm kind of hyped for that one still.
I am too. I can't play. Like, you know, I'm not a JRPG guy, but yeah, I'm in.
No, but I don't think it's gonna be J. It looked like it's wasn't it? Isn't it developed by Ninja? No, I don't say Ninja Theory.
Ninja Theory is their Hellblade guys. I don't think it's them.
No, not Ninja Theory. The Neo guys.
Is it
the Ninja Gaiden guys? Oh my god! Is it? My brain is not working today. Team Ninja.
Bro, I'm definitely in. I'm 100% in.
I could be wrong, though. Do you know what? I feel like I need to confirm this. Confirmed.
Yeah, no, I'm in.
It is developed by... Because I remember when I saw Team Ninja, I was like, what? So, I just think it's really... And the way in the trailer, the guy was like, chaos, I must defeat chaos. Chaos. Like... It just seems like such a dark take on it's like if there was a, I'm trying to think of a comparison, like Kingdom Hearts, but like Dark Souls version.
Like Kingdom Hearts, but real bullets.
Yeah, basically. But it looked really interesting. I'm actually really excited for that one. That one was 2022, I believe. Mm. One thing to point out, even if you don't say the dates of any of these games, most of them that they announced actually surprisingly were 2021 and 2022. And you know what, I just randomly, and I won't go on this tangent too long, I was looking at the MCU thing, the slate, and I was like, we're getting a lot of content in 2021 and 2022. What time to be alive. But yeah, Stranger of Paradise, I think if you've always been interested in like Final Fantasy as a series and a lore, but you've never been interested in like the kind of gameplay and turn-based combat and such, I mean, there's other games that you can play like Tactics and the newer ones, but this seems like it could be a cool entry point into like the Final Fantasy universe. So I was happy with that. But last, I guess we'll talk about the one that most other people were talking about, which was the Guardians of the Galaxy game, which I know it's been in development for a long time, but this is a game I haven't followed at all. So I was quite shocked when I saw it. I was very sad because, oh yeah, Black Panther was announced for Avengers, no one cares. But when I saw it, I thought it was more DLC for the Avengers game. So I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And then
I literally
like,
got up to walk out of the room. Like, it was playing because I thought it was just more DLC.
And then I saw all I saw was, are you going to sell Groot or are you going to sell Rocky? I was like, what's going on here? This is a little bit of cutscene action.
There's story here? What is this? Like.
So yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy is, I think it's going to come out on all platforms. I could be wrong there. It seems to be quite action RPG heavy. I believe you can only actually play as Star-Lord, but you have like control over the abilities of the rest of the team. The Guardians that they have is the same Guardians from the film. They didn't like pick out any different ones from the comics, but I do think that they're designs are really cool. I don't know if you guys liked or disliked any of them.
Star-Lord just looks like Thor.
A little bit.
Do you guys still trust Square Enix after what they've done with that awful game that no one plays anymore?
Absolutely not. I'm not buying this.
But just to say, apparently this is a single player game that has no transactions, but
listen, Levi, they told us that Marvel Avengers was a game.
No. Hassan, if you go back to listen to some of our earlier episodes, do you remember I never had faith in that game? What did I say?
No.
I said it's going to be a bad Destiny. The writing was on the wall there. The writing was on the wall.
I don't have bad faith in you. I fully trust you. I'm just saying, I have no reason to trust them on the Marvel game. Like, I don't. If it comes out and it's great, and like after some patching, I'll try it.
Let's be real. Day one purchases aren't really wise these days.
Not at all.
The more game devs can update things after, the more likely they are to shift garbage on you on the day of release. Mm-hmm. But that being said, but then I feel like it just seemed more compared to the other the Crystal Dynamics game, and I don't know if it's them developing this one. I think it's a separate developer. The characters didn't look janky the way the Avengers ones did. Like they looked really diet, like diet Captain America, diet Thor. But the Guardians look like well designed in their own right. They don't look too derivative of the films, and they don't look too just janky. I think this game is actually going to stay in its own universe. So I do feel like the devs behind this game are kind of being able to just do what they're doing. I mean, it still could be hot garbage, but it does seem like this game is definitely in its own realm and is not attached to anything else. So hopefully that means there's no obligations that they have to do anything stupid and they can just realize their vision. But game looks cool, man. What are your guys' thoughts on it? I know you guys are Square Enix. It's just like...
It's hard to track the developer after they do what they've just done, isn't it? Is the superhero genre like quite... Other than, like, Batman had a very good run, and then obviously you've got the Spider-Man games that's on Sony, but other than that, are there any other successful superhero games?
Spider-Man 2 on PS2.
Spider-Man PS4, Miles Morales.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
Superman, Nintendo 64. I'm definitely lying there.
Oh, that's a deep cut.
It's a deep cut. Now, you're right, Josh. For me, though, and the reason I'm quite like, I feel like when you make a superhero game, there is something specific that you have to do to make it feel like, whether it's the vibe of the hero you're portraying or just the combat of the person. I think that's where Avengers was a bit, well, there was a lot of other issues with Avengers, but I also feel like the combat my point is, in Galaxy, I like the way that it's like you have a team, it's like an RPG team, the way you can apparently be able to level up your characters and have these abilities and unlock all these things and tailor, I guess, your team, I guess, in a sort of almost like an Ultimate Alliance sort of way, if you know what I mean. I don't know if you ever played in, or just probably hasn't, but any Marvel Ultimate Alliance games. And in a similar way, like in Spider-Man, the way they nail feeling like Spider-Man and Batman, I feel like there was an element of the Guardians being able to, it would have been a lot nicer. I think my biggest gripe is like being able to play with everyone, obviously. I still think the team being around you and you being able to call in Gamora or this person to do that, it seems cool. Seems cool. Fun times.
I think that's my thing with most superhero properties, and not even superhero, anime properties as well. When they port into a game, the best thing about games is that you play as the character is supposed to be, but it gives you the opportunity to not, because like through these mediums we see it but we don't feel it, but a game should enable you to feel that way. That's why Spider-Man 2 is like in folklore, because essentially you could just have fun swinging around from place to place. Do you know what I mean?
Oh my, it is the best feeling.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like it makes it quite difficult for developers to emulate that, because it's a feeling, and I think that's the problem with most superhero games and why that's the thing. So I always feel, and to be honest with you, I love Guardians of the Galaxy 1, but Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was a bit meh, and so I'm like, that's probably the reason why I probably won't really check for this title, because I think they're kind of subpar anyway. But that's just me. That's the personal feeling.
No, I hear you. I it's definitely a thing of if you're interested, you're interested. Oh, yeah. And I was gonna say also, I guess the team conversations that they were having in the gameplay trailer and the choices kind of added to that element of like being in a team. And like, I don't know if you saw when he threw Rocket over the bridge, like, I don't know why that cracked me up, the way he was just cussing when he dashed him over. Like, I don't know, I got a chuckle out of me, and I don't laugh.
That got me too.
My heart is stone. But yeah, that was Square Enix. There was some cool stuff, some not so cool stuff. I guess I was pleasantly surprised. As you know, I find the smaller shows to be quite boring. Is there anything from the PC gaming show that stuck out to you, apart from the games that I mentioned, that you want to talk about before we move on to the big two, Hassan?
Yes, there is.
I do just want to quickly say, they done the most, and it was very cringy.
Yeah. There's a few games. There was one in particular. Again, it's an indie game, because it's on brand. It's me.
I feel like most of the PC games in themselves are just it's niche, to be fair.
There's two games, and I think they are cross-platform, except one is Citizen Sleeper, which is the cyberpunk game where you're on a spaceship where, like, the company is trying to liquidate you as an asset because that's the way it works in space. Nice. And you're getting help from other humans kind of to wake up first and to kind of escape the situation you're in. Gameplay-wise, it looks like it's not a fight it out. It's kind of like a Disco Elysium where it's about your choices and, like, the hacking and, like, the other, like, other mechanic rather than, like, straight up fist fighting. It looks like a RPG kind of RPG. I'm in. Like,
does
I'm
it seem like in. A Switch game?
Sorry, I hope it is.
I'm advocating for the Switch so hard these days.
Mate, you came in like a full Nintendo suit in this episode.
Listen, look, Josh always says I'm a PlayStation stan. I tell him I'm a Nintendo stan slightly.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm a Nintendo stan in a PlayStation stan's COVID.
Yep. More when it gets peak clothing, but...
Yeah, when it gets peak for the Sony fans, I'll just take it off and jump out of it.
Oh, mate. The other game is The Wandering Village, which is the village sim, like the one where you, like, build and, like, kind of maintain, like, a community that's living on the back of a giant dinosaur that's kind of exploring this island. But there's like a fungus in the air that's causing rot, so you have to, like, manage that and kind of talk to the thing that you're riding on the back of to, like, make sure it goes to safer places. And, like, it looks super cool. It looks super, super cool. Like Stardew Valley, but with, like, danger. Come in.
Nice, nice, nice. There was also a vampire game that everyone was hyped for, the Masquerade one. I haven't played any of it. I feel like that's another one of those, like, cult games that have cult followings and things like that. But I think it was Vampire Masquerade, the Swan Song.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was a thing as well. I definitely think if you want to check out some, like, not so well-known games, a PC gaming show is perfect, because you're not, and they showcase all sorts of games. You know what, I just off of the back of the gaming show, I want to play Chivalry 2.
Yes.
Because it looked like good fun, and my friend Koya was sending, because he has it, and he was just sending me just some clips of him just getting, like, killed by some guys.
I played a ton of 1, and Chivalry is hilarious amounts of fun.
That's exactly what he said. I'm gonna play it with him, actually.
One of the other ones while we're, like, still on this PC thing, what's it called? Pioneer. It looks sort of like Stalker. Looks sort of like Fallout New Vegas. It looks sort of like Metro, where it's like a Russian RPG set in a dystopian kind of, like, nuclear wasteland Russia, and I'm in. You give me spooky, weird RPGs, I'm in. Like, give me, good, like, Fallout vibes, I'm in.
Nice, 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 nice. All right, guys, I think it's time. It's time to go to Nintendo. I'm scared looking at the time, but we're going to do what we can. I'm going to list off bare games, and then we'll back and forth and we'll go through it. I'm going to try and go through the ones that people probably are not going to comment on unless I comment myself.
I've only got two that I want to talk about in this.
Oh, nice.
Just cover really quick. So for a person who has always considered the Switch but never has taken the leap to buy it, will this conference move the needle for me?
Probably not.
No, do you know? Yeah, the thing is with Nintendo, which is the only reason I would say if one wanted to say who won E3, I would say maybe Xbox is, because as weird as it sounds, Nintendo's was a lot more like hardcore gamer orientated slash Nintendo fan orientated. It was, you're not gonna get like a, well, apart from Breath of the Wild 2, it wasn't like, oh, we got a new Mario. Like, it was very much like, you know, you're a Metroid fan. We'll get into it though. But I think just by virtue, you should always, I think a Switch is just a console, man. It really is. Like, it really is. Game Pass on the Switch. Did someone
say
Game Pass on
Switch? Hold on. Did you sign a deal somewhere that you have to?
No, do you know what? Yeah.
Like, you have to sign it this hard.
This, I think in our age, right, and I've said this countless times on this on the pod, sometimes to sit in front of a big screen and play a game for hours is just, it can be a lot. But when you have it in your hand and you can lie in bed, you can be amongst family while they're talking and play a bit, or you can go on a train and play a bit, and you can, there's something about that portability. There's so many games. It's almost a similar effect of Game Pass. Like, there's games that I won't play, but because they're on a Switch, I'm like, oh, I don't have to sit in front of my TV. I can just play it on my Switch. There's some games that I would actually rather play at a lower res on the Switch for the portability.
Yeah,
let me put down a Nintendo stick and then pick it back up, because we're talking about Nintendo. So we have Kazuya in Smash. I'm not going to lie. I like what these characters in Smash means for like celebrating these characters in these games, but I would much rather have a legacy Nintendo character in there instead, like an actual Nintendo. Of all the DLC, I think Petey Piranha's like, and he was the first one that I can think of. Maybe some of those swords guys. I don't know. I stopped paying attention after bloody, I don't even know, Banjo-Kazooie. But yes, obviously Life is Strange is coming to Switch. Just Dance 2022, that's like somehow, yes, like this game sells so much money. But one thing I will note is it's not coming out on the Wii. And I feel like Just Dance has traditionally been like some sort of Wii. So I don't know how, maybe up to as recent as last year, they were still releasing Just Dance on the Wii. I think a lot of people are finally going to put their Wiis away now.
Is the Wii store still going?
I feel like Just Dance, you know what? Let me do a little Google. I feel like Just Dance, what was the last one? 2021? I'm going to go 2020 first. I feel like, yeah, Just Dance 2020 was released on the Wii.
What?
I'm telling you, I've read so much threads about this phenomenon of like them releasing, like people still playing Just Dance on the Wii. Sorry, I was wrong though. So Just Dance 2021, the last year's one, was the one where they finally stopped putting it on the Wii. But it's on the Switch now. And obviously 2022 is coming out. I'm not really, I feel like Just Dance wasn't even a good dancing game. The one on the Xbox was much better. The Kinect one, Dance Central.
Don't look at me when you talk about dancing games.
Dance Central, no, Hassan, Dance Central will turn you into a Ras Clark dancer. I'm telling you. Man, we'll was make doing, a day of it. Doing poison like there was no tomorrow. Anyway.
Like there was no tomorrow. Girl is poison.
Do you remember Josh at your house?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
That was a good time.
Sorry, guys. Oh, so unprofessional. There was actually a ton of games that they announced that were going to be pointed. Obviously, I said Life is Strange. There was also Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, which is going to get ported. There were some other games that Hassan might remember, but I don't know. It's good news that games are being ported onto the Switch. I was saying to Ram the other day, this as a boy who was a Nintendo boy until I got 360, I had to kind of live with just, you know, at a time where these games just wouldn't come out on the GameCube. Like, man, you know, I missed that. So it's nice to see that Nintendo's finally getting ports sooner rather than later.
Yeah, no, for real. Like, it's it makes no sense for, like, a lot of developers not to have their game in more markets. And if they can get in the Switch, why the hell not, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I've said it before. I predominantly use the Switch for, like, wholesome and kind of chill stuff, but if they're going to give me like some good and interesting games that like fit the Switch, yeah, I'm in. I'm super in.
I just want to
kind of address the elephant in the room, the one big issue with this Nintendo press conference that I think a lot of people like had issue with, which was that there is still no mainline Waluigi game.
Listen, yeah. I think he might be talking. Do you know what? I thought he was going to talk about no HD switching. I was getting ready for that. I'll be honest with you. Let's talk about WarioWare, because
yes,
I'm a big yes. WarioWare fan. So I've only ever played one Wario game, and I couldn't tell you which one. I think it was on like Game Boy Advance or Nintendo DS.
I had the Advance one,
which was fun, but I definitely have really fond memories of WarioWare, like really, really fond memories. I never personally had it. One of my neighbors had it, so we used to just go there and spend hours on that stupid game and loved every single minute of it. So I was so super weird. Excited. I love so mini games.
Weird. I
love me. I'm that idiot on Instagram that sometimes downloads some of those games and ads because I'm like, this looks kind of fun. I'm that guy, and then I realize it's a bloody games as a service.
Always.
WarioWare was good. I wasn't really mad about that. Can I ask, was you disappointed in a lack of a Switch Pro? I think I know the answer already.
No. Fine with what I got. I'm not using it for high-end gaming. I don't really care. Like, if it's not 4K, like, it's a Switch. It's fine.
I hear that. Josh, do you care about a Switch Pro at all, or?
Not really. I think I'm not, because I don't think anyone gets the Switch for like, oh, it has to be 4K, or I don't think people do that. I think the consoles that you do that for are your Xbox and your Sonys. I would only get a Switch to play to for the love of gaming. I'm going to sound really cheesy in this, but I feel like Nintendo make games that you love to play. Whereas everything else is a little bit more like graphics heavy, for example, like Forza or PlayStation game or whatever. I think, but like when you play a Nintendo game, it's because of the generations of them producing things that you love, in a sense. So I wouldn't care. I don't even want them to go down that road. We've seen what's happened with that with the Wii U, and how successful was that? So yeah. I think just Nintendo, stick to what you do. That's what we love you for.
I hear that. I'm just going to wheel off some other games that...
You're going to wheel off it?
Wheel off. Okay, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we had Mario Golf. We had Mario Golf Super Rush, which looked fun, fine. Forgive me, listeners. I didn't note the Mario Party game. I'm going to call it Super Mario Party.
I can't believe they just added internet connection to one and then they released another one.
Do you know what? Nintendo is sus. Their practices are wild.
We see Mario, we see like Yoshi, we see like a Kirby, and we think, oh man, it's Uncle Nintendo, they got her back.
One thing I will say is the Kazuya trailer when he threw Kirby off the cliff was really funny.
The memes are really good, like the memes that came about afterwards,
they're top class. But oh god, yeah, so there was the Mario Party one. Obviously Monster Hunter Stories 2 will be on the Switch as well. There was the Danganronpa Decadence, which is, again, I recognize the bear. I've never played any of the games. I've heard they're really good. They look like, I've heard they're quite like graphic novel type simulation type thing. So that means I'll be down to play. I always enjoy playing things that I always saw growing up and never got to play, like Jet Set Radio. I did not play it. Judge me. I had Nintendo 64.
I'm not judging you. I'm sad for you because that game was amazing.
I've heard.
Talking on the Danganronpa though, like I say Dankin because the guy the entire time kept saying Danganronpa, and I was just like,
he knew what he was doing.
I was like, bro, we're doing this in 2022. For real?
Let's move on. Oh, we had Fatal Frame Maiden of Blackwater. I know Hassan's noping out of that.
I took two looks at it and I was like, delete. Just...
But so that's getting ported onto the Switch as well. We had Strange Brigade. We had Shin Megami Tensei. I mean, I feel like they just show us that game every E3. It's starting to, I feel like that and StarCraft is that thing of like every year, it's like one new thing. we had a remake of Advance Wars 1 and 2. I tried to play one of those when on the Game Boy Advance. Those times when I wasn't very good at them type of games, but I enjoyed I enjoyed it. And the Zelda stuff.
Oh, you're missing one thing. You're missing Metroid. Metroid Dread.
Do you know what? I put Metroid at the top, and then I put everything else in order.
Mate.
And go off, Hassan. You go off first, because I could go off as well.
Firstly, I've been waiting for a Metroid game for like a old school kind of like side scrolling Metroid game for like what 10 years, something like that. I'm so unbelievably hyped and ready for this game because I love Metroidvanias, like genuinely like one of my favorite kind of games. So seeing this and then seeing, because they're in the treehouse afterwards, they showed up some gameplay and they showed like how the enemy mechanics work and like how you get hunted, and like the tension felt so real. Like it looked and felt like you're gonna be having a heart attack every time one of those robots like scurries on screen. I was like, yeah, I'm in. I'm so in.
Terrifying. I'm totally with you there. I never played any of the Prime games. Yes, Nintendo Boy hasn't played the Prime games, but I have played like Metroid 1, Metroid 2. So I've played the 2D ones. So I was super pumped when I saw this game. Remember, I was just 10 year old, almost bought Bloodstained the other day and I didn't do it.
You need to play Bloodstained.
I bought A Link Between Worlds and Ocarina of Time 3D again. But I'm super pumped. I think this was Metroid Dread was actually my, like, of all the whole thing, I was most excited for this game, to be honest. It looks really good. Really
good.
Of the
Nintendo stuff, it is by far the top game for me.
Yeah, I think if it's a franchise you haven't got into, if you're looking to try a new type of game, I know a lot of people don't play those kind of Metroidvania type games, I definitely would think that Dread is a jumping on point. Now we'll get into this other stuff. Hyrule Warriors expansion, yay. Oh wait, does anyone care about that?
We move.
Yeah. Skyward Sword had a release date and I don't actually have it with me, but the game, is it
August,
this year?
I think. Yeah, it's August, I think.
Yes.
August.
So the remake of the remaster, let me not lie, of Skyward Sword is coming out this year.
With the Amiibo shenanigans, let's not forget that.
Yeah. Talking of capitalism, there was a Game & Watch system that allowed you to play Zelda 1, Zelda 2, and Link's Awakening. I think it's funny because if you have a Switch and you pay on, if you have pay for online, you get access to those games for free. But I guess if you're a collector, I mean, I say this, I might buy it.
Like, that's the worst part. I'm fronting like I don't actually want one.
Yeah, I'm so sad. But lastly, we have Breath of the Wild 2.
Yeah,
we had some gameplay. Yeah, it was short, but it was sweet,
bro. The only reason that Metroid is my top game is because we've known about Breath of the Wild 2 be like existing for so long, but damn am I hyped for that game. Like when that game finally comes out, I'm going to spend a stupid amount of time in there.
God, listen, I don't, yeah, like I just said to you guys, I actually completed Zelda 1. Yes, the very first one. I gave up on Zelda 2.
2 is like ridiculous. Like it is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. And I'm currently playing A Link Between Worlds. I'm like in Zelda fever right now. So this just sent me over the edge. I can't lie. It did send me over the edge a little bit. I'm currently looking at Wii U system so I can play some Wind Waker. I got a problem, guys. I got a problem.
just scratching your arms, just like, hey man, you got any Zelda, man?
Yeah, literally.
I need some tea, man. I need some tea.
Some of the Triforce. I need some of that Lan Lan milk. That Lan Lan milk, that premium milk.
You're meeting Tingle around the corner. It's just like...
just pull out his pants. Pull out his pants and pulls out the milk. God. Wait. Where'd you get that from?
He doesn't say anything. He just winks at you.
I'll be like, you know what? I'll take my rupees elsewhere. But anyway, it was a short trailer, but there was quite a lot in there. You know, we got like a good look at some of the new powers, him like flying, bit of possible Skyward Sword links there, connections there. Can't say Link when we're talking about Link. I feel like there was people are speculating this on Twilight Princess connections. It's all over the place right now. You know how Zelda is. The timeline is a mess. Shout out Loki.
there's Brian David Gilbert, the comedian guy who was working for Polygon. He did a video where he tried to put all the Zelda games in the timeline. And it is the funniest shit. Like, it's so good.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. I love that guy, you know.
He's so funny.
He's very entertaining, he is.
I think, for me, like, Zelda is, like, the one game. I always tell Levi this, like, this is the game that made me feel like a hero. And it was, like, Zelda Twilight Princess. I had dabbled in Ocarina of Time, but got to the Water Temple and gave up. But then, like, in terms of the Twilight Princess, like, I always remember, like, running, riding the horse and then, like, jousting with that pig thing. And I was just like, this is, like, the best experience.
I don't know.
But then I still, from that point, I still not ever picked up a Nintendo platform. But, like, for me, like, if there's anything that's going to do that, because I heard that what's that game? The Zelda game that's just came out on the Switch. What was it called again?
Link's Awakening, that one?
No.
The remaster? Yeah.
Breath of the Wilds or Link's Awakening.
Yeah, you go. Breath of the Wilds, yeah. So the way Nana describes that game is like, he says like, oh, this is like the best thing ever. So like, if there's anything that's going to get me onto the Nintendo platform, it's going to be that.
It is, Breath of the Wild is very much like playing the first Zelda. I can say that now because I've played it.
Yeah.
It's like playing the first Zelda, but with a new coat of paint. My only gripes with the first game being the lack of any like proper dungeons, most of the puzzles being in shrines. I would love to see more. I would like to see more dungeons and maybe some more locales in Breath of the Wild 2, but it is very much just like the original. Like, you can go in any direction, Josh. If there's any reason to get a Switch, ask Graham about it. This girl will be like, yeah, this game's fine, and then a couple of days later I'm just being my room and all I can hear is like some YouTuber talking about Zelda behind me. it's not Mass Effect at the moment. Mass Effect is the one I'm hearing YouTubers about.
You gotta love a game that just absorbs everything into your life. Like, just you're like, this is it. This is what I do now. I am a Zelda human.
I think for me is when I clean my kitchen, I listen to music. But when I'm absorbed in the game, I'm watching YouTube videos while cleaning my kitchen. Yes. Everyone in the house is hearing random YouTube videos about random games. Well, I'll be like, what's that you're listening to? I'm like, oh, don't worry about it.
I do this thing where, like, when I play games like Enter the Gungeon or, like, Isaac or, like, you know, like roguelites, I'll turn off the music and I'll put, like, a podcast or something in the background.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I had a moment where I was listening to a breakdown about Mass Effect when I was playing Isaac, and I was like, why am I playing something else when clearly I'm so deep in this rabbit hole? If I'm listening to something about another game while I'm playing this game, like, I clearly am not doing it the justice it deserves.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I hear that, and that's me. And I think that will be me when Zelda comes out. I can't wait for this game. Like, I love Zelda. But not Hyrule Warriors. Is there anything else on the Nintendo camp that I forgot that is important? No Switch HD, go cry somewhere else. Do you know what? We've got half an hour ish. We've got 25 minutes. So I'm going to sit back and let you guys take us home with the Expensda. The Expensda show.
Josh.
We can sit back. I will say, though, before I sit back, I mean, I'm not, I thought Josh knows privately, I like to banter Xbox a lot, but I'm an Xbox fan. Remember, I was a 360 boy before I was a PlayStation boy.
That's true. That's true.
And this E3 was very good. And that's all I'm going to say. Except when I chime in.
you sound so pained saying anything positive about Xbox.
No. My only thing with Xbox is there's just something about, and I know it's just business, there's something about them buying id Software that is just like...
Bethesda, you mean?
I'll say id Software because, I mean, everything. Buying all of the... Because even like... games like Outer Worlds is going to be an Xbox exclusive now.
That's Obsidian, and that's a different thing. They bought Obsidian first.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. But there's something about buying, instead of like having a dev and then like them you working with them to create a great game, as opposed to you buying someone with a track record. I don't know, man. It seems a bit cheap to me. But anyway,
bruv,
you guys do your thing. Do your thing, guys. Do your thing.
We can't be angry. We this is positive. This is a good moment. Right.
As long as the consumer wins.
Mate. Right. So, in true kind of Todd Howard fashion, Todd Howard turns up to this press conference like 76 didn't happen. Just
oh,
like he came in, just like, yo, boys, what's up?
One thing I didn't like about that though was them saying like Fallout 76 is one of the most played games on Game Pass. I'm like, that will not sell you Game Pass. Sorry, <come on.
laughs> you know, I hate to say negative stuff about Fallout because I love it so much, but don't talk about that. We're trying to sell things. it's not good.
That's so true.
They came out swinging though. The ex-Thester. I was like really expecting them to do Starfield right at the end, but they kicked it off with Starfield, which looks cool. Like it's like kind of a typical trailer. Like they didn't really show off too much, but they showed off like a lot of the aesthetic. Mm-hmm. Like Josh, what do you think, man?
So for me, for a person who loves Skyrim, which I did, and I think that's probably my only Bethesda thing. Like I've never got into Fallout. It's not that I've never got into it. I've never tried it. But now it's all on Game Pass. I might as well. But like for me, it was kind of interesting. I wasn't blown away by it because all I've heard is like, oh, wait for Starfield. But it's cool that we got a date. And the trailer was in engine trailer. But there wasn't anything like wow. But I think it's just the fact that it's an Xbox exclusive is a big deal, and obviously this is why Microsoft spent all their money that they did, because as much as how janky Skyrim was for some people, it still was a massive thing when it dropped on the 11 and 11 and 11. So like
it started like the sacred day.
If Starfield makes the same sort of like jump, then I think everyone's going to be happy with that, really.
Yeah, for sure. I think after all this wait, people just want it in their hands. I think it's a very, very good thing that it's not coming out this year, it's coming out next year, so they have more time to kind of work on it. Especially with like the way, like recently a lot of like AAA games have come out broken and unfinished, kind of one after another after another after another, with Cyberpunk kind of being the anvil that broke the camel's back, because that was not a straw. I like with Halo as well, like because Halo came quite quickly after that. They showed off, you know, the multiplayer, which looks sick.
Yeah.
Are you going to be playing the multiplayer?
100%. And I think I'm trying to draft my PC game as being Levi and my friend Colio into that as well. which I think that's the key thing for Microsoft, isn't it? It's like, we don't really care if you play it on the Xbox or not, as long as you play it. And I think that's a good way to, because honestly, the reason why I love Halo so much, and the reason why I loved Halo right from the beginning, is because when my dad bought me this Xbox with a massive control pad, I literally connected that one and we had a second controller, and then me and my sister were just playing it. And I think that's the key thing about Halo. Like, no, yes, you are Master Chief, but playing it with your friends just gives it a different sort of feel. And if they can create that 360 magic, that magic that we all experienced when we were playing Halo 3, then you're onto something. And it looks like they are getting there. So,
did you watch the demo afterwards?
I haven't watched the demo. I heard good things about it. Yeah,
it's really good, man. It's really good, and it's free, guys. I feel like both of you didn't mention.
Yeah,
that.
I was gonna get to that because the story mode doesn't have a release date yet, but the online mode is this.
No, so I think the story is coming out. I think it's all coming out this year.
Yeah,
I think because
the way they phrased it made me think that.
No, you're right, Hassan. I thought the same thing, and I had to look it up afterwards. I'm pretty sure it's all coming out at the same time.
Yeah. That's the aim, but that holiday window, that's the Debbie Downer, I think, on this conference, is the fact that there was a few that the the major games were like, apart from like Forza and maybe Flight Simulator and maybe another few games, but like the main ones, the ones that they came out swinging, they were all like CGI trailers and stuff like that. So that's a little bit, but the fact that Halo doesn't actually have a date yet scares me. I feel like it's going to drop into 2022.
That was literally my prediction last episode where we were kind of like making some guesses. I was like, honestly, if we're being blunt and honest about like kind of getting the best experience about this, it probably shouldn't be this year, because there's like, there's too much kind of chaos and too much like, there's too much things that are still up in the air at this point when it's like a few months from the end of the year. Like, why risk it when you can take a step back and just kind of put the effort in that needs to get it like in perfect working order? Like, that, I'd much prefer that. Do I want Halo right now? If they gave it to me right now, would I play it? Yes, absolutely. But
yeah, definitely.
But I'd rather wait for a good game, you know?
I will just say, before we move on, I hope that they deal with all of the like all the microtransactions and things. I hope they deal with it well.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've been quite open and been like, yeah, that will be in there. There's going to be battle passes, all of that season. There's going to be seasons, all of that stuff. But I think the seasons are forever, and I think you can buy old seasons. So if you're someone that gets sucked in, you might be buying some skins or whatever. But at the same time, I don't think they're going to be really shady about any business. It doesn't seem like they're, you know, and at the end of the day, the game's free. What do you expect? The multiplayer part is free.
Yes.
If you download a free game and get mad because there's microtransactions, I don't know what you were expecting.
like for me, like I said, I feel like as long as
not pay to win.
And as long as they capture that magic, because like, imagine me, you, Hassan, Colio, even Alex Mendoza.
Is this a pitch? Is this a personal pitch on a podcast?
I always keep doing it.
The politician is creeping out.
Yeah,
it's... I think that's gonna make the game really fun to play. If we all join up and have a good time, just trying to get people, shoot people, like, that's gonna be so much fun.
I'm going to get an Xbox. Like, that's a done deal at this point. And we definitely need to play some Halo when that comes out.
Oh, Sony, what's going on? You're losing your coins, mate.
Bruh, all right, told guys, you from day. Let's keep the ball rolling. Let me pull out the list. Let's quick fire some things. Slam Rancher 2.
Oh, yeah, go on then.
Yes, yeah, so you guys care about Slam Rancher 2? Did you play Slam Rancher?
I didn't even put that on my notes. I'm just scrolling through my notes like, I don't have that.
It's a fun game, but it's... if you like sim games, you'll like this one. Plague Tale Requiem.
Oh, yeah. I didn't play the first one.
Plague Tale's good. It's really good. If you don't like rodents, do not play that game. You're going to be upset. You're going to be deeply upset.
I hated Ratatouille. That's an awful movie.
Look, if you can't stand Ratatouille, you are literally going to shit yourself. Don't play that game. I'm out. It's a brilliant game, though.
Oh, yeah, go on, Hassan, go on.
Yeah, as I say, I think there's probably like PC mods where they've turned them into something else. Like, maybe.
Oh, God. No.
I'm going to just wheel off a couple. Replaced looked cool.
I'm in for that one.
The aesthetic looked really cool. Really cool sci-fi vibe going on. Atomic Heart.
Hold on to that one because there's that and Stalker. Okay. I do want to talk about those two.
I had a feeling you'd want to talk about Stalker, but yeah, you guys go on.
Okay, so Atomic Heart and Stalker both fit the bleak Russian
nuclear.
Yeah, the Russian like nuclear kind of. So like Atomic Heart is not like Nuclear Apocalypse. It is a KGB installation that something has gone wrong, and you're sent in to figure out what happened. And it looks super creepy and it looks super weird. And like, there is so much kind of below the surface. I want to explore. I just want to find out all the lore. I'm like, I need to play this game. It's so far up my alley. Like, this is exactly what I want. Stalker 2 is the follow-up to the cult classic Stalker game, which was a PC game back in the day, which was brilliant. Mm. it was one of those ones where like I wouldn't recommend playing it now because like it was janky as hell back then. If you don't like janky games, you ain't gonna enjoy this.
You got to be dedicated,
but no, like legitimately, below that jank is a gem of a game, like an utter gem of a game.
I mean, Stalker 2 looks amazing,
bruh.
It looks impressive.
I'm so like, remember when they first originally released that trailer, and I was just like losing my goddamn mind. Yeah, bro, I'm so in.
I mean,
I'm
put it this way: all the times that you've tried to pitch me to play Metro, this game made me want to play Metro for some reason.
Okay. Do you know what? You got time. We got time for Stalker 2. So play the Metro games.
Something I will just note that we might go back to is most of the Bethesda library is on Games Pass. Yes. Atomic Heart is not an Xbox exclusive, but it is available on Games Pass.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're talking about it in the Xbox section. Go on, guys.
We can start reading stuff off now. Outer Worlds 2 has been announced, but we don't have a any information.
That was an amazing trailer. There was the new Arcane game called Redfall.
I'm so in. I love Arcane games. You're a big fan of the Dishonored series.
So it did pique my interest, literally based off of them.
And again, that's a co-op game, isn't it? It's going to be a co-op game.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, talking about co-op games, Back 4 Blood.
That looked cool.
Game Pass Day 1, and it's coming out October the 8th. Listen, this Left 4 Dead hijinxes I had back in school, going to my friend's house, Kurt Josh, and playing Left 4 Dead 2 all day after school.
Mate,
I'm so excited for this game.
Like, I spent a disgusting amount of time playing Left 4 Dead. I remember playing online with some strangers and having this amazing bonding experience until right at the last level where they were getting swarmed and I could have saved them, but I saw the door and I survived.
That safe house. You'll respawn next game.
Bro.
I did want to just shout out Contraband just because it's the devs of Just Cause, I think it is.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've got hiccups. So that was announced. Forza, we got some Forza Horizon 5.
Oh, Forza looks so good. So imagine, I went to Alex's house yesterday and I was like, Alex, turn on Forza. And like everyone, their minds were blown at the fact that they were like, is this a game? And I was like, yeah, it's a game. Ridiculous. And do you know what that makes me excited for? Fable. What are these wizards going to do with Fable if this car game looks so good?
That's a bit of a different conversation, isn't it? Forza's always been like that. That's now you're talking about like game engines and game devs. That's a bit different. Like just because Forza looks good doesn't mean Fable's gonna look like Fable will not look like Forza.
I want to see my character fart on someone's face in high definition. Yeah, and I think this is the
HDR ray tracing.
I want to see the cloud of fart hit their face. That's what I want to see.
One thing to note that wasn't on Xbox. I don't know if anyone was expecting it. There was no Avowed.
Mm-hmm,
we didn't hear from Avowed at all.
I'm not surprised by that. They still said they had like loads of time left, like before they had anything.
And I think that's all that I have for my list. To be fair. Let's talk a little bit about... I have some questions anyway. But I want to hear your guys' thoughts about the whole Game Pass thing because I feel like... Josh has always pitched Game Pass to me. And I've always kind of said to him, look, Game Pass is a good bargain, but my thing is I've played most of these games. It's when the library consists of mainly old games, it's a good thing to have where you browse through and you might have been like, oh, I missed that boat on that game, I'll play it today. But for the most part, you just kind of just paying for it. I think now that they've kind of seemed to be announcing and putting these new titles that are not just new but big new titles on Game Pass day one, and they're kind of creeping closer on top of hearing games that used to be universal, like Starfield would have been the future Bethesda games, and like Outer Worlds 1 was universal, but Outer Worlds 2 is going to be Xbox exclusive. there's a lot of weight being added to the value of Game Pass. I mean, would you agree? I mean, I feel like you have to.
Absolutely.
Agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, it's a no-brainer. In my opinion, like, unless you desperately want a PS5, if you're looking at the two consoles objectively, the Xbox and the Game Pass is the route to go, because, like, just from like a value standpoint, if you buy two PS4 games, like brand new PS4 games, is £140. Two games.
PS5, yeah.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. Two PS5 games is £140. The Xbox Game Pass for the year is, what, 120?
Yeah.
And that's
a
library of over 200 games.
Yeah, 100%.
With new games in there as well. It's absolutely a no-brainer to me. And the fact that that continues to PC...
It's not even just
the value aside, like, because you can't always just kind of straight talk the numbers. Like, for me, one of my favorite things about gaming, and one of my favorite things about picking up the PS4, because I hadn't had like a PlayStation console before this, was exploring the library of PlayStation games, because there was like a legacy of games that I was like catching up on, like God of War and like some of the Square Enix games, some of those ones. Xbox has that library too, and this gives people opportunities to try them without putting a monetary kind of risk up about not enjoying it. Because there's games I've bought where I'm like, this is not my cup of tea. Yeah, like, absolutely. But like, if I've got the Games Pass and these games are on there, I can try them, push the boat out in ways that I never would have expected to enjoy, and find some gems. There's definitely gonna be duds that I won't enjoy, but so what? There's like hundreds of others.
Yeah. That being said, though, it is unfortunate that Sony still has the belly. They got the games in it. They've got do you know what? It's weird. I kind of feel nostalgic, and I remember having a 360 and always being like, yeah, when I was in school, everyone had a 360. No one had a PS3. But the few guys that did, shout out to Chrono, said this guy's name like 100 times. he was one of the few people, and he just always heard about these games, innit, like Metal Gear Solid, all these like God of War, and you just like, damn man, like the Uncharted, like, you know, it was all looking tasty, and that I feel like that's what it's gonna boil down to if you're trying to select a console. It's like, are you prepared to? Are you that much of an enthusiast that you're gonna pay extra money so you can experience those experiences? You know, because we can't forget the things like the SSD on the PlayStation, the controller itself with the vibration and the triggers and that. It's more of, it's gonna come down to, do you want to pay more for the experience, or do you just want to, if you miss God of War a little bit, then you just get an Xbox, I suppose, or a Switch. Get a Switch.
So here's the thing as well. Oh, sorry, Josh, go for it.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I was talking to my brother-in-law about this as well, and he was like, there's going to be a lot of people, because everyone's also forgetting the fact that you could probably get two consoles in the next-gen thing, and those two consoles could possibly be a Switch and an Xbox Series S. Like, that's a thing that could happen. And then he was like, we were discussing it today, he was like, there's going to be a lot of like people who are going to have a Series S that won't let everybody know about it, but they're going to have it. And I think that's the thing. And I was talking to Levi about this the other day, and it is about targeting the casuals, isn't it? It is about having a conversation where it's just like, look, this is the Netflix of gaming. And that is a huge thing for a lot of people, because everyone knows what Netflix is and everyone knows what Netflix has done. I think this, but again, like I said, this is only going to be good for the consumers, because Sony's going to have to react to this, especially if they start losing the market share. They're going to have to react to this. And the moment that Sony delivers us something like a Game Pass, I told Levi this, 100% I'm going to buy a PlayStation 5. Because everything that Hassan said about missing out on all these PlayStation titles, like, I've missed that. I don't even know what God of War, like, what it feels like to play it. I've seen it on YouTube, Uncharted, all these games I missed out on. If you give me a Game Pass or an equivalent to that, Sony, take my money. Do you know what I mean? But until that happens, I'm not gonna put my money to Sony. Crazy, £70 for a game, like, it's normal.
On top of the what, 560 for the console?
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yes, it's all mad. Remember when I said Game Pass could be on Sony? Yeah, I think that
Game Pass games are on Sony.
I think it's either gonna be we're either getting a Sony Game Pass or we're getting Game Pass on Sony.
there's a really cool thing about the Game Pass that I think is it's going to change the way that like the industry works, which is like it needed to have happened like years ago. The way the games industry, it doesn't regulate itself and it doesn't really go out of its way to make consumers safe in this space. Like, you know, like the fact that trying to get a refund for a game is like not impossible, where you have to like jump through like a million hoops, or like loot boxes still being a thing. Like seeing forward momentum like in a positive way that's so kind of consumer front facing, I'm like, I have to support that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Until we find out that the devs are being held hostage and they all have to work in the Microsoft house. And I have two last questions. I'll go over them very quickly. One of them is not really a question. Was there anything that you were disappointed that you wanted to see from E3 at all?
No. I think I had maybe one of the more positive experiences, because I saw a lot of people were like very disappointed about E3. But I had an incredibly good experience because of how much indie content there was. Mm-hmm. So I'm less worried about things I didn't see than worried about how I'm going to find the time to play all of these games.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's so many.
Josh, was there anything? I think I know what Josh was going to say.
I think the Halo thing is worrying for me. And I think that is a big concern for me. Like Coley, look, I keep mentioning this guy's name. He'll be on eventually. But like you said like the other day, like you got Master Chief on the back of your box and you've not been able to play anything yet when it comes to the Xbox. And I think, yeah, that's a good point. But then I can flip that. I can also say that throughout my entire experience of owning an Xbox, being a Microsoft guy from the beginning, it's been known as the shooter console, but now I don't think that's a label that you can give Microsoft anymore. Like the games that I'm most excited for after that E3 press conference are Forza, and I've never been a car racing guy, but that looks amazing. And Flight Simulator, that's crazy. That's crazy.
I feel like it's gonna melt everyone's Xbox. I don't know why, man. That game is so like labor intensive. But I'm still shocked they put it on the Xbox. It's sick. Six times. Sorry.
It's fine. But no, I think that's the thing. So like I could say, yeah, I'm disappointed with Halo not having a date, but then I can also say now that I don't think I'm dependent on Halo as much as I used to be. For me, that's a little bit of Microsoft growth for me.
You're a strong and independent gamer and you don't need no Master Chief.
I mean, to be fair though, they gave us a holiday 2021 and it's close, even though they didn't give a date, it's close enough that there is a possibility that, you know, the pendulum could swing either way. It could just stay there. We might just end up getting an actual month now. It might be like November, you know. Even when you look at PS5 and Xbox, it was like holiday 2020 or whatever it was, and then closer time, you know, when you hear holiday it usually means like November, October time, so it could, you know, you never know. I agree with Hassan, there wasn't much I really was dying to see. I would have liked to have seen a Persona 5 port onto the Switch, just because I really want Ram to experience that game. But yeah, I can't think off the top of my head. Nah, I mean, I'm just waiting for the state of play from PlayStation. They have to do one. And I think we're definitely gonna get one maybe in the next couple weeks, even. Like, you know how they like to do, they just be like, oh, we're having one in 2 days.
There's a bunch more smaller gaming events going on for the rest of the month. So like we got plenty of stuff to kind of look forward to outside of the E3 umbrella.
Exactly. So that's me. And my last kind of question, do you think that the whole chip shortage situation and the whole like shortage of consoles has actually ended up working in Xbox's favor? What do you think?
Yeah.
When you think about it, because it's something that I didn't think about. And then after watching the E3, I'm like, I feel like, hear me out. It's like, I feel like there's people who, if there were consoles available, they would have just bought the PlayStation. And in Games Pass, just they wouldn't really, it looks interesting, but they'd just be like, oh yeah. Whereas because of the shortage and people still being stuck in last gen, still having the time to make their decision now, like maybe you, Hassan, for example.
But I wasn't rushing for the next year. I'm still not rushing for the next year. But like, this E3 did make me legitimately, at one point I was like, should I just buy an Xbox?
I mean, I feel like Series S's are still, I feel like Series S's are available.
X is available. You go to because I get the updates because I'm still on this list for some reason. But you go to Amazon, and I think it's almost happening like almost every couple of weeks now. I feel there's always like some information about the X being on there. So
there you go. I think that's it. You know, we could have gone on forever, to be honest. But you know, gosh, we have to wrap it up. It was a pleasantly surprising E3, I'd say. A lot of content. Maybe like there's a lot of indie stuff. It might be a good time to play some titles off of their merit, up, instead of just off of the brand name. Maybe, you know. But yeah, is there anything anyone wants to add about E3 in general? Oh, hold the phone. How dare I? Honorable shout out to bloody Elden Ring. We did not talk about Elden Ring. Summer Games Fest, because it was part of the Games Fest. I just kind of, you know, did we talk about it? I don't think we did.
We didn't talk about it, but like, I didn't start.
Okay. All right. Well,
I've got a bit unbiased. Like, I don't like George R. R. Martin. So,
touche. But I know there's a lot of, I think less George R. R. Martin and more just From Software fans and like casual Game of Thrones fans that were waiting for it. And we did get a gameplay trailer. It was quite a good trailer, and it showed quite a lot of stuff. It wasn't like just little teaser. So that happened. Shout out Jeff Keighley putting his fingers up to E3 all day long.
it's such a personal, like, fuck you. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. So yeah, that's it. I think, is that it, guys? Are we done?
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, there's an episode.
I feel so bad for Elden Ring. we got you in,
Josh.
I was just gonna say, I think for me, I think it's made everything that I said to Levi in the first like few months of Xbox's life. I feel like I'm in a more like, I want to say gotcha, but no. I think what it does for us, it allows Xbox fans to really be like, okay, you said we didn't have games, now we do. So, like, just come and join us. Join us on the Game Pass side.
Oh, my God. Thank you for coming to TED Talk. I will say, though, I would love to see more Xbox new IPs and not them saying this is a Bethesda IP that they were secretly actually working on before we bought them. Like a new Horizon, do you know what I mean? Or even the way Returnal just came out, if you get what I'm saying. Like, just like a new Xbox thing that is going to be memorable. I would like that.
What do you think is going to happen with the Indiana Jones game?
Oh, I don't care.
it's gonna be in a museum.
Lost me when you said Indiana Jones.
No, but do you reckon that's going to be like Xbox equivalent for Uncharted? Because that's where.
Oh no!
That's where all the characters come from. Like Tomb Raider, Uncharted. It's all inspired by Indiana Jones, no?
It is, but like, kind of. Like I'm not into, like, I tried Uncharted, I couldn't like jive with it. It just didn't like hit for me.
And also, Uncharted is a good time, but you gotta remember, just because it's Uncharted is also very different to Tomb Raider, for example. So who knows what flavor Indiana Jones is gonna come out with? But I feel like we've literally got things based off of it. I feel like Indiana Jones is gonna, I think it's just gonna come out and that's gonna be that. It's gonna be on Games Pass, people are gonna play it. I don't think we should bother with what you're up to. I'm gonna quickly just say though, Static Shock is out now. The first issue, so Milestone is back, so go check it out. And Loki's out. Two episodes in, Loki's good. Hassan, do you want to tell lovely people where to find us?
Right, yeah, drum roll, please. You can find us at The Nerd Alternative at Instagram, The Nerd Alternative without the E, on Twitter and on Reddit. You can find us on YouTube for our video content. Please subscribe and like our videos. Leave us a comment as well. That'd be awesome. You can listen to us on any major podcasting platform, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, Google, Breaker, Podchaser. Again, we would love to hear some feedback from you guys. So if you want to leave us a lovely review, that would mean the world to us. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. And Josh, do you want to plug anything? You know, you still do your podcast.
Until if there's anybody who can provide a good internet connection for East London, hit me up. Okay. yeah. Other than that, thanks for having me on, guys.
Mate, always a pleasure. Always yes. a pleasure. Shout out the name just in case. Give us a.
You should have an episode releasing soon, as soon as internet in East London resolves itself.
Guys, the Euros are going on. You guys should be covering it. Should be covering it. Just saying. Hashtag just saying.
Even I knew the Euros was on. That I'm like, if that can penetrate my uncultured sports brain.
Yeah, that means there's content there's to be made. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's content to be made. But yes, that is an episode. Thank you for listening, guys. Bye, Switch.
See you next time, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever been reading through a stack of comics and thought, maybe I should see what this Arkham Asylum game is all about? Or been playing Marvel vs. Capcom and felt like you were at a real disadvantage since you didn't know who half the characters were? Well, Play Comics is the show for you. I'm Chris, and each episode we take a look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stick to that source material. So whether you know the comics and want to know how all these games work, or you know the games and want to find out where all this craziness came from, go check out Play Comics at playcomics.com or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.